living in such unbelievable, amazing times that we try to have that kind of influence. Of course that's part of the power. Of course that's part of the reason why the power is not centralized but is more spread out amongst individuals. They go hand in hand. But in the old days when they wanted to keep power central, one of the things that they controlled was information and education. The Catholic Church originally, in the countries that they ruled in, was illegal for people to own a Bible. It was illegal for people to know how to read Latin. There were laws against it. Why? Because if they controlled the Bible, and they controlled the Latin, so nobody else would know anything, and they would have complete control. So Catholic Church. So in every place, where any area where there were dictatorships and so on, one of the things that they kept control of was the flow of information and education. Anyhow, so which is it? Is it a bad thing or is it a good thing? What's happening? So the truth is that in order that we have to understand what is, we're all sitting and praying that Hashem should restore the kingdom of the house of God. We want a king. We don't like democracy. We want monarchy back. Right? We're all praying for this monarchy to come back. We want a king. Now the question is, we're kind of used to having the freedoms that democracy gives us. Many of those freedoms work for positive, for the good. We've done a lot of good things with those freedoms. Sometimes those freedoms get us in trouble. But do we really, really want a monarchy again? Do we really want to go back to the good old days when there was a king that completely ruled your life? What's so great about a monarchy? You see that in the Gaiusian world, it didn't work too well. One of the reasons why it didn't last is because it was abused and the leaders were very corrupt. But the fact is, it's an institution that seems to be passé. Why are we getting so excited and why are we so interested in having a monarchy again? Okay, because we're from Jews and that's what God wants. So even though we're not particularly interested in it, since God wants it and we're supposed to be from and do what he wants, so we'll ask for that too. We'll ask for a kingdom too. But that's not, I mean, if it's something that we're supposed to daven for, if it's one of our basic needs, okay, the Anshe Knesset Sagdela put into davening that we're supposed to ask for our needs, obviously it's something that we need, something that's good for us, not just something that we have to do as some obligation. Of course it's an obligation, but it's not only what it is. So the truth is, what is a king? And what is the sign of a great, true king? How do kings rule? What do kings do exactly? What does a king do on a day-to-day basis? You know what kings do? Kings sit in their palace. And they give orders. That's all kings do. They don't do anything else except tell other people what to do. They're not supposed to do anything. A king is not supposed to be seen doing any manual labor. A king is not supposed to be seen doing anything. He's supposed to have this tremendous awe of the king. The job of a king is to do nothing except give orders. That is the sign of an effective king, if they give orders and the orders are carried out. That is the job of a king. They're not supposed to do anything. Even David HaMelech, who at the beginning of his kingdom would actually lead the people in battle, after a while they came to him and they said, listen, stay home. Stay home. Don't go out of battle. Sit in your palace and learn Torah all day. Just give us the orders and we'll do it. If you're out on the battlefield, it's a headache. We have to worry about you. God forbid something should happen. Sit in the palace. Don't go anywhere. Don't go anywhere. Don't do anything. Just tell us and we'll do it. That's a king. In fact, Hasidus explains, why do we compare the attribute of Malchus to Dibur, to speech? So Chassidus always quotes the pasuk Bashan Dvar Melech Shulchan, which literally means, how does a king rule? By talking. Kings don't do anything else but tell other people what to do. That's their job. They're not supposed to do anything. Obviously, a Jewish king has to learn Torah, and he has to do mitzvahs, and the things that he has to tell the people to do are the right things to do. But a king's job is only to tell you what to do. So what's an effective king? An effective king is a king that there are people who actually want to hear what he has to say, and they want to do what he tells them to do. A king that has to force his will on people is not a king. That's a dictator. A dictator is not a king. A dictator is someone who's forcing himself on people. A king is somebody that the people come to and they say, please tell us what to do. And he says, okay. He says, I got more important things to worry about. I don't want to sit and tell you what to do. And they beg him, please, please, please tell us what to do. And finally, he sees the people really want it. He has no choice. And he finally gives in and says, okay, okay, I'll be your king. I'll tell you what to do. But you have to really want to do it. So in order to be a king, you have to have people who come and ask you to tell them what to do, who voluntarily accept you as their king, and at the same time, once you become the king, now it's not voluntary anymore. They agree to the fact that once you become king, now it's mandatory. But they want you to be the one that tells them what to do. Now, Chassidus explains that what if a king had a kingdom that all of his subjects were his direct descendants, his own children. If his own children came to a person and said, we want you to be our king. A person has many children, grandchildren, they come to him and say, we want you to be our king. Chassidus says, that's not a king. Not a king. Because why do they want him to tell them what to do? Because they love him. Not because they accept his authority. Because they love him, because they're devoted to him, therefore they want him to tell them what to do. But a true king, a true kingdom is only if the people are not related, the people are not connected to the king, and they choose of their own volition to submit to the king. That is a real king. So Chassidus explains that the creation of the world comes from the sphere of Malchus. And it says, Ein Melech Beloi Am. There's no such thing as a king without a nation. And Chassidus explains, Am is from the same word as the word Eimemais. Eimemais refers to a type of coal in which the fire, there's still some fire inside, but the fire is not physical. It conceals the fire that's inside. And Chassidus explains that this indicates in order for God to be a king, he has to create a being that's separate from him, and that his creative energy is concealed in that person. And only that separate being can now turn around and say to God, be our king. We want you to tell us what to do. If everything that exists is totally connected to God, he can't be a king. In order for him to be a king, he has to create beings that at least think and feel that they're separate from him. So it comes out like this. Terrible, terrible news. In our generation, the Hiskashus is not the way it was in earlier generations. But the truth is, if you go all the way back to creation, we had the same bad news. Bad news! God created a human being, and this being is not totally connected to its creator. The angels are totally connected to their creator. Everything in existence is totally connected to its creator. The animals don't do anything except what the Creator tells them to do. There's one being that's not totally connected to this Creator. Terrible. But that's part of the divine plan that there should be such a being, because God wants to be a king. And in order for God to be a king, he needs these separate beings who wake up and realize, hey, we need you to tell us what to do. We want you to be our king. We want you to tell us what to do. So the Rebbe says On the surface, Bechet Senius, what's happening is a terrible development. Our generation, we have, even though we're smaller people, somehow we have larger egos. The two seem to be related. The smaller the person, the larger the ego. So we're much smaller people than the previous generation, with much larger egos. It's hard for us to be devoted and loyal, and we have a hard time we have a hard time showing the kind of love and devotion and loyalty to our parents that they showed to their parents. We have a hard time with it. We love our parents, we love them, we appreciate them, but we have a hard time expressing that love and connection in such a way that we're like total devotion. So we have this problem with, as Chassidim, we have the same problem. We have the same problem of having that kind of devotion and commitment to whatever, purely out of love of them. So it's a terrible development. There was Aaron HaGadol, who was a contemporary of the Alter Rebbe, a disciple of the Zichron Magid, who was the first Rebbe of Kaolin. When he passed away, he left a young son who the different disciples of the Mezritcher Magid undertook to raise him. He spent a few years by the Alter Rebbe. The Alter Rebbe was one of the people who helped raise him. And then he became a Rebbe. He was known as Rav Asher of Stolen. Rav Asher of Stolen, it's known that his Hasidim loved him tremendously. There was a tremendous love between the Rebbe and Hasidim. And one time he was sitting with his Hasidim and he said, "I know that you all love me, but do any of you fear me? It's not enough just to have love. You all love me. Do any of you fear me?" Everyone was silent. Why? They love their Rebbe so much. The Rebbe says, "Are any of you in awe of me? Fear of me?" Everyone was quiet. So he says, "Nobody, nothing." Finally, what Chassid said, "We're afraid of doing anything that could jeopardize the love. If we have a fear, it's the fear of doing anything that could jeopardize that love, that connection." So he gave him a little slap and he said, "That's what real fear is. That's what I was asking." So the real connection, a real connection of Chassid was devoted to his Rebbe, his Mamish. It's so devoted and connected to his Rebbe and is totally terrified of doing any little thing that might jeopardize or weaken that connection. That's Hiskashus on a level where the relation between the Rebbe and the Chassid is an extension of the Rebbe. The Chassid is nothing more than an extension of the Rebbe. Therefore, just like the hands and feet don't have to worry about the global gland, the hands and feet just have to do what they're told, and the head worries about the plan, so too when it comes to the global plan of redemption, the hands and feet just have to do what they're told. The head can worry about what's going to be with bringing the guru. That's the Rebbe's position. The Rebbe says, but now that there's this, we lack this level of discussion, we don't have that kind of connection, we're separate. But the Rebbe says, now you can't rely and say, "Listen, I'm just the hands and feet, let the head worry about it." No, everybody has to be concerned. But the truth is that this negative development of Pneumius actually makes it possible to establish a deeper connection. And that is a connection between the subject and his king. Separate beings, lowly beings, have the capacity to appoint a king and accept a king upon themselves, and therefore achieve a deeper level of connection, a deeper level of devotion to a king. The level of devotion that there are between the soldiers and a king is much more than between a child and their parent. The soldier is ready to give his life on a moment's notice. If the king gives the order, you know. Whether you like it or not, whether you understand it or not, whether you want it or not, what the king says goes. So So when we accept the king upon ourselves voluntarily, in order for it to be voluntarily, we have to be separate beings. If we feel totally connected, so you know why I'm accepting you as my king? Because I love you, because you're my Rebbe. Well, I should accept someone else as my king. Some other Rebbe. You're my Rebbe. And that's why when people criticize the Lubavitchers, they say, you know why you hold the Rebbe's Mashiach? Because he's your Rebbe. Because you like him. He's your person, because you like him. That's not how it is. The real acceptance of a king is when I'm not totally committed, when there's a weakening in my connection, and that weakening makes it possible for me to establish a whole new relationship, which is the relationship between the subject and his king. That's something that has to be done by a separate being. It has to be done voluntarily. But once it's done, it establishes a connection that goes much deeper than any other connection that exists. Because now your life belongs to the king. You don't have a life of your own, your life belongs to the king. So the Rebbe says like this, bad news. There's a lack of discussion. But what this brings about is something even better, which is that now we can achieve a relationship of a subject with their king. How is this relationship expressed? In the relationship with the king, we said the king doesn't do anything except tell you what to do. And you're the one who does it. In a relationship with the king only tells you what to do, and you're the one that has to do it, and you're the one that has to carry it out. So the Rebbe says, now it's up to each individual. You're the one that has to do it. I can only tell you what needs to be done. But you're the ones that have to carry it out. And there's another thing that a king has to do. He can't just sit back and give orders. He has to give his people the power and the resources to carry it out. So what the Rebbe says, look at the world around you. Look at how the world has changed. Look at the tremendous power that individual people have. The shift of power from leaders to individuals is because in order for you to carry out what I'm telling you that you have to carry. A true leader is not somebody that holds on to all the resources for himself. A Jewish king is not allowed to gather money. A Jewish king is not allowed to have too many more horses than he needs or more money than he needs. A Jewish king is not about hoarding things for himself, taking things away from his people. A Jewish king is the opposite. A real king gives his people all the resources and everything they need in order to carry out what they need to carry out. What he does is he gives to you. So the Rebbe says, now we're living in a time where you have the power. I give the power over to you. You have the power to carry out. It's up to you as individuals to carry out whatever is necessary in order to bring about the redemption. So what the Rebbe is telling us is that this is a positive development. When the Rebbe got up and the Rebbe said, do everything that's in your power, and people were saying, oh Rebbe, please reveal yourself. No, don't do this to us. Don't put it back on us. Come, you bring the redemption, you reveal yourself. The Rebbe was revealing himself. That's what a king does. A king tells the people what to do, what needs to get done, and the people do it. People think that why are there shluchim all over the world? Because the Rebbe cares about every Jew. But the Rebbe is one person that ever can't go to Australia and run to France and run to here and do it all himself. He's stuck. So what does he have to do? He has to send other people to do it. Because he can't do it himself. He needs help. But if the Rebbe could do it himself, he wouldn't bother with us. What does he need us for? But what could you do? And also, why do we need to have shluchim? Because never, we live in a time where so many people are not true, and so many people are not, don't know about Yiddishkeit, don't know about Chassidus, don't know about, because the unfortunate circumstances we live in, that's why we need people to go out and bring people close to Yiddishkeit, so we need to send other people to do it. That's not what's happening. What's happening is quite the opposite. The whole reason why the world is this way, and the whole reason why the Rebbe has to send out people is because that's the way That's the way the divine plan is actually fulfilled, when the people do it, not when the Rebbe does. If you look at the sichus of the Rebbe about going out on shluchas, the Rebbe says, you know who benefits the most? Who benefits the most from going out on shluchas? The Rebbe is the shliach. You think you're doing me a favor? I benefit the most. You think you're doing a favor to the people that you're reaching out to? Very nice. It's a good thing. Definitely a wonderful thing. But the Rebbe says, you know you're doing the biggest favor? Doing the biggest favor to yourself. Going out on shlichus is for you. It's a favor to you, not a favor to me. When the king, a king who guides and leads his people, he does it for them. A true king doesn't lead his people in ways where he's doing things for himself. A true king, the people come and they say, listen, we need you to lead us for our benefit. A king is totally devoted and concerned for the well-being of his subjects. A king guides the people in a way that's best for them. So when the Rebbe tells you what to do, he's not telling you what to do because what he needs. Of course the Rebbe wants it, and of course when you're doing it, the Rebbe appreciates it, and it's a nachas to the Rebbe, and all of those things. But the Rebbe is really telling you is what you need. You need to be a shliach. It's for your good. That's what you need right now. You need to be involved in bringing the geula. That's what real geula is. Real geula is when we have a king and he tells us what the world needs and what to do and how to do it. And he lets us do the work. We don't, if we want, if, but Mashiach reveals himself, it doesn't mean that we go to sleep and now he does the work. But Mashiach reveals himself, it's time for him to tell us to do the work. What we need to do. The Rebbe used to say that people think that when Mashiach comes, then they'll get a rest. Now they're out on shluchas, now there's a lot of work. When Mashiach comes, everyone will want to be from, everyone will be this. It'll be great. When Mashiach comes, you finally get the rest. The Rebbe says, no. When Mashiach comes, that's when the work first starts. It's not a time for resting. That's when the work first starts. So when the Rebbe came along, the Rebbe told him, I'm giving it over to you. It's up to you. Do everything in your power. You have to decide to do it. You have to come up with ideas how to do it. What the Rebbe was telling us is, I'm taking charge. The Rebbe wasn't saying, I'm not taking charge anymore. I'm giving up my job. I'm retiring. The Rebbe says, no, I'm taking charge. And I'm telling you what you have to do. That is how the Rebbe takes charge of the situation. So he's not deserting us. He's not saying, forget it, I'm sick of you people. Go, you worry about it yourself. That's not what's happening. What's happening is the Rebbe saying, okay, it's about time, and this is what needs to get done.
That's
the problem. There's still people 10 years later. There's still people today who 10 years later say that, you know what the Rebbe said of Purim Tashim Yom Zayin? We don't have enough discussions. You know what we should do? We should work on the discussions, and then the Rebbe will take care of it. It's a great idea. The Rebbe said the whole reason why he's giving it over to us is because we don't have enough discussions. Let's work on the discussions, and then the Rebbe will take care of it. Once you accept a king, and again, you can only accept the king when you lack. Only people who lack a scotchus can accept the king. People who have a scotchus, they have a scotchus. They're doing it because they're demoted. Only people who lack a scotchus can accept the king. I'm sorry, what? Of course. There was a story I remember at the time when they were collecting signatures for Kabbalah's Hamal. So there were a group of Hasidim in Pittsburgh got together and signed such a petition to the Rebbe, accepting the Rebbe as king. So, and they went to 770 and they delivered the petition. But there was a certain wealthy guy that the shliach there didn't want him to know about it, because he felt he would be turned off by it. So he didn't want him to know about it. He was just fresh, just starting to come close to Chabad. So he just said, make sure this guy don't know about it. A little while later, this fellow found out about it. And he comes over to the shliach and says, How could you do this? Everybody signed on a petition to accept it ever as king. You didn't invite me. You didn't include me. What did I do wrong? How could you leave me out? So what was the shliach thinking? The shliach was thinking was that this is something for people who are mamash mekushet to the devil, for people who are totally connected to the devil. This is kabbalah samal. But for people who don't know, don't understand, they don't appreciate it, it's not for them. It's not for them. They don't know what a dev is. They don't know what a fish is. What a dev is. What it is connected to a dev. But the answer is the other way around. People who know what a dev is, they don't want to be connected to a dev. Those people don't make the greatest shluchim. The most effective shluchim are the people who have a streak of independence in them. The people who have a streak of independence, so they go out and they do things, they get things done, obviously, because they know that that's what the Rebbe wants. But those who are more busy with their spiritual, deep spiritual love and bond and connection with the Rebbe, they don't know how to relate to people who don't have that connection. They don't know how to go, they can't relate to going out so much and doing shlichus. The earlier generation of chassidim that the Rebbe claimed had more skashrus, they didn't relate to going out on shlichus. Why not? If they had more skashrus, why couldn't they relate to going out on shlichus? And the answer is, because when it comes to these things, more skashrus is not the key. More skashrus does not make you more effective. The Rebbe's inyan is malchus, and malchus is more effective. Malchus can only really come about through people that are not so connected. Obviously, once you accept a king as king, you also have to become connected to him. You have to develop the proper skashrus too. We're not negating, but if the basis of your relationship is a skashrus, then he can't really be your king. If the basis of your relationship, and the truth is, it says this in Tanya Perek Mem Aleph. In Tanya Perek Mem Aleph, he says that the basis of serving Hashem has to be accepting him as king. Only then, after you're his servant, only then can you work on being his child. But if you start off as a child of God, if your relationship with God is so close, like a child to a father, then you can't properly be his servant. The basis of the relationship with the Abish is that first you have to be, accept him as king. Then you have to deepen your relationship with him to the point that you're so close like a child. The same thing. In earlier generations, the emphasis was on the skashrus. The emphasis was on the personal connection and relationship with him. In our generation, it works dafka through the reverse. Dafka, and you see, interestingly enough, that some of the people who are the most into the Rebbe's and the other, who toughs up the most, are the people who came later on their own. Not sometimes more than the people who were born with it, and the people who grew up with it, and people who spent their whole life in 770 following the Rebbe around, and take pictures of the Rebbe every time he moved, and watching him and sitting by the Rebbe's feet. Sometimes you see those people are not as involved and as fucked up in the Rebbe's and the other as people who came from far away, who were separate and totally not connected to the Rebbe, and accepted the Rebbe on themselves. And those people are sometimes able to build a deeper connection. Because when you accept a king, once you accept him as king, then if that is the foundation of your relationship, then any relationship that you build after that, the deeper you build a relationship after that, the more lasting and permanent it is. Because the foundation is that whatever he says goes. You tell me what to do. You will give us the orders and we'll do it. So what the Rebbe was doing here, and the Rebbe's been doing it from day one, The Rebbe has been sitting in a room in 770 and telling people what to do. That's what the Rebbe does. The other Rebbeim traveled all around the world, and the other Rebbeim went to places and they did things. The Rebbe sat in a room and told people what to do. Before Tafshidu, the Rebbe himself ran everything. But once the Rebbe became the Rebbe, the Rebbe sat in a room and told people what to do and how to do it. The Rebbe didn't even write his own chassidus. The only Rebbe who didn't write any of his own chassidus. The Rebbe told people how to do it. People came and they said, we want this chassidus written down. So the Rebbe gave them instructions how to do it. Do it this way, write it this way. This is how you should write it. That's how you should write it. The Rebbe told them what to do. That's what the Rebbe has been doing all along. But the Rebbe came and finally said the final instructions that we have today. The Rebbe came and told us what to do. Is now do everything in your power to bring about the full and complete revelation of Mashiach. Thank you for your help.